Saddle up your horses. Hey, God bless everybody this morning or this afternoon or this evening, wherever you are and listening to the Robin Walter Show here on the Red Sky Radio Network. I've got so much to get out today. Let's get rolling with some odd good news. But first of all, if you want to contact me, you may at redskyradio777@gmail.com. redskyradio777@gmail.com with your complaints, criticisms, compliments, whatever you want to throw out. I'm there. Okay, today's good news is an odd one because it's sort of a double-edged sword. But the fellow Yuri Berliner, who's definitely a liberal, leftist, I don't know if he's quite there by the Democrat standards today, but this is the NPR editor who criticized the network's pro-woke bias. He's gone. He'd been there for 25 years. He was the recipient of all kinds of awards for NPR, also known as National Propaganda Radio. And the reason this is not good news because he's gone from there. It's good news, of course, that he came out and he revealed just how much dirt and ugly filth there is under the NPR refrigerator. He shined the flashlight, and for that, he's persona non grata, and he's gone. But, and I mentioned last week, I think it was, or I'm not sure when this first broke, or began to break, was the breakdown of the political makeup of the NPR staff, which, of course, is staffed or funded. The staff is funded by, and the radio is funded by what? Your tax dollars and my tax dollars. So this left-wing, wonky organization, which has gone completely un-American, anti-Constitution, anti-Christian, is made up of 87 senior editors. And I had mentioned how many of them were Democrats and how many of those were Republicans. And does anybody remember what that number is? Well, let me tell you. There's 87, and the number of, here's your clue, the number of Republican or conservative editors is the same number as the number of biracial transgendered midgets that are senior editors. That number would be zero. That's how bad this outfit is, and subsidized totally, not just subsidized, totally funded by taxpayer dollars. So, why is this good news? It's good news not just because the cat's out of the bag. We all knew this, but it's a great embarrassment to NPR. But the fact is, I am thrilled that there is somebody that actually will surrender their career for the sake of truth. Now, the disconcerting part of this is that this guy is a convicted. He is a conventional liberal. I don't think he's out on the far left. Maybe he is, but I don't think so, because I don't think you can be on the extremist far left, which is a Democrat party today. I don't think you could be on the extreme far left and come out and admit that the company you work for is ridiculously woke, unbelievably biased, and beyond recovery and redemption. I don't think you could do that if you were out on the extreme left end. I think he's the classic liberal. He's a Teddy Kennedy liberal. He may be the Joe Lieberman liberal before he went independent. That kind of a guy. But this is somebody who's given up his job, 25 years of seniority and so forth for that organization. It's a big deal. The reason I call this a double-edged sword is that this is a little bit convicting. This is where he's convicting. That's where the word came up. Because I don't see too many Christians doing that. I don't see too many Christians willing to give up their job to speak out. Now, I did a small stint. Gosh, it was a couple of years in virtual corporate hell that I worked for Wells Fargo. What a horrible company they are. And I outed them as to their absolute punishment of people who didn't support the queer agenda. And I had to walk. I mean, I faced a decision. I said, I'm not going to shut up. Fire me. Well, they gave me a little token of their non-appreciation on the way out, but so be it. I'm glad I stood. I'm glad I did all I could do to stand. And having done all to stand, I stood. I'm not championing myself because there's been other times that I should have spoken up that I did not. But this guy, what an example of giving up your career for the sake of truth and exposure of corruption and bias reporting than a guy who has no testimony of Jesus Christ. Yuri Berliner, I'm going to guess he's probably Jewish, judging by the name. Maybe he's a, you know, an Orthodox Jew that's on the left politically. But I'm thrilled that we have had this exposure. And, you know, Scripture says that we are, it's a commandment to expose the works of darkness. A command. Like John the Baptist got beheaded, not just for calling out Herod and marrying his brother Philip's wife Herodias. He lost his head because of all the evils that he spoke publicly about that Herod was guilty of. Jesus paid him the greatest compliment of all. There's no greater prophet in the Old Testament than John the Baptist, who happened to be a second cousin, but I don't think that this was any spiritual nepotism by Jesus to have said that. Well, okay, enough of that. I'm going to move on to something that, all right, I make a lot of predictions. Some of them are right, some of them are wrong. I think there's a slight tilt to more of them being right than wrong, but it's not a great number. It's sort of like my investments. I got some losers, I got some stinkers, and some winners. And when this life is over, I simply trust and hope that I'll have a few more winners and losers. And this particular prediction, I can't say it was prophetic because that would be I. It's a correct English, right? That would be I, not me. That would be I calling myself a prophet. And I am not, but I could speak prophetically as any one of us could at any moment in time, not knowing that that's the capacity or the authority in which we're speaking. But very early, just over 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, when the plandemic was in full effect under Joey No Brains Corn Pop Biden. Mask here, mask there. Let's send all the kids home, virtual learning, which is virtual non-learning, which I'm thrilled about because it was a virtual exposure of what crap the government schools were teaching kids when their parents came into the room to see it on the screen. Way to shoot yourself in the foot, you left-wing nut jobs. Well, what was my prediction? Looking at the success of the shutdown, which was largely an effort, of course, to get Trump out of office, and it worked. It did work, altering the whole voting arrangement. I think Joe Biden is a liar. Donald Trump was duped. Trump was duped. Biden embraces lies, a whole ton of them. He's the liar in chief, besides being the pervert in chief. As we saw just last week, as he's sniffing another girl's hair and he's fondling some girl's shoulders, and then the little girl's hand he takes while he's walking, and interestingly, this little girl, he's got his holding her hand, and he pulls it right down in front of his crotch. This guy's a perv. But anyway, lest I digress any more than I would actually like to, this particular prediction I made right after the major lockdowns went into effect, and I saw the success of the government using the Rahm Emanuel strategy of never waste a crisis. Don't let a crisis go to waste. That they use it to galvanize power and control. It's all really ultimately about control. But I made the prediction that the next time that this is done, because the success tells me that it would be done again, but not necessarily over COVID. They'd have to come up with some new game plan, something that would be universal across the United States, or so they could contend. Wouldn't have to be a disease. And my prediction 3+ years ago was that Biden would come out and at some point, to ensure re-election, would declare a climate emergency. That was a prediction. And it's on the verge of coming true. Written by Bob Andrew, I'm going to quote a little bit from this article that he put together here, that he said that activists jumped on the opportunities that the emergency threat of COVID posed. Changing election laws and procedures, sometimes even simply ignoring long-standing statutes, in order to accommodate voting during the pandemic. The result was that early voting, absentee voting, vote gathering, counting ballots for weeks after the election, surprise boxes of ballots, and multiple vote influence operations boomed, even though such procedures are wide open to fraud, and I might add, many were violative of statute. But somehow, the supposed threat of COVID, which was so totally overblown, and it was, now all the COVID vaccine deaths that we ended up with, it was so overblown, but it was so successful in galvanizing control over everything that people and judges and legislatures felt free to violate existing law regarding elections. It worked so well. And now what do we have? Bloomberg Report has come out and said that Biden, from inside information, has that Biden is considering a declaration to, quote, help Biden win over some of the youth vote as the president trails, end quote. The report said that various radical activists intend to stage protests to push Biden into declaring a climate emergency declaration several months prior to the election. And presumably would do it, I'm guessing, just before early voting starts. Now, what the Bloomberg article says, and I think it's halfway to the truth, it states the truth that, yes, he thinks he's going to pick up some youth vote by declaring this because her kids are so and are just absolutely inoculated, not inoculated, they've been infected with this climate crisis, which is bogus. It's crapola. The Bible makes it clear there is no man-made global warming. Sorry, no climate change. But the kids are supposedly suffering, not at the just the college level, and but at high school, and now as the infection goes down, as the teachers lamely and biased, in a biased fashion that cannot even be described, talk about climate, everything. Every time I open up an article and I get three paragraphs down, they start to relate some stupid thing to climate change, such as why California prisons are overcrowded, and it relates to climate change. Well, climate change is making people commit more crime. It is so asinine, it's unbelievable that it has created in these kids a condition called climate anxiety, and that there's going to be a rush to support anybody who comes out strongly in support of curtailing the climate crisis situation and bringing it to a halt. Now, Warren Buffett, who doesn't pick out too many bad stocks, goodness sakes, do you know what one share of Berkshire Hathaway cost these days? One share of Buffett's stock is $605,000. I can't buy one share. Anybody want to go in with me and buy a share? No, not really. But he's doubling down on energy stocks. He says he sees the collapse of the whole EV market. It's unsustainable unless he really truly wants world war over energy, and maybe that's Biden's strategy. How do I finally complete the transformation of this country that Barack Obama started, the fundamental transformation? In other words, the ruin of a country that Barack Obama actually despises. Well, this one party says, quote, if Biden wants to win the youth vote, he needs to take forceful action on climate change. And Bloomberg is right that he probably is going to pick up some youth vote because he needs it. And he still has a majority of youth vote, but doesn't have a majority enough to beat Trump if he considers youth vote critical. But the other thing that Bloomberg doesn't bring out is the obvious, that a declaration of climate crisis and emergency, of which there won't be any other than it's just another hot August day across the United States, a couple of months before the election, is that the emergency is going to give everybody in a lot of states, I mean legislatures and judges, once again, the green light to alter the voting rules, the protocols, the statutes, and the constitutions of these states that deal with voting. So that maybe you don't just allow late voting, maybe you actually mandate early, maybe you mandate voting by mail. Oh, gee, what could go wrong? I think this prediction is, actually, Bloomberg said that Biden considered declaring this during the 2022 midterms. And apparently, in my estimation, he was talked out of it to save that tool for re-election. But this is what I've said. The Democrats have no morals. Voter fraud is simply a parking ticket to these people. Because all the Democrats seem to want, beyond control, is death. Hey, what are you talking about? Yeah, I mean, look at what they support. I mean, continuing on, actually, with Bob Unruh, he had a piece about Democrats actually wanting to end America. And I would have, reading his article, I would have retitled it, Why Do Democrats Hate Life? Because they do. And all of these, I mean, you got this candidate in, gosh, I forgot what state's calling for death to Trump supporters. Why is not the FBI on that guy? Oh, my. Well, because he's a Democrat. And the woke state infects the FBI, the DOJ, or the DOI, the Department of Injustice, the whole government cabal, which, of course, to them, they represent democracy. To a Democrat, democracy is reflected in government institutions, which they control, not open and free debate among the people, which is what a constitutional republic should consist of. Their definition of when they say we're trying to save democracy means we're trying to save our own rear end by ensuring control of all the government agencies. That's democracy to them. We get to control everything and no open debate of anything to the contrary. And we get to define what constitutes information, disinformation, and malinformation, which I guess is a new word, meaning information with an intent to harm. Doesn't have to be untrue. It just means intent to harm, I guess, by their definition. So Chris Queen, of an editor at PJ Media, he indicated that Democrats simply want to end America. They want the end of this country as we've known it because they hate the Constitution. They're Christophobic, bibliophobic, truthophobic, commonsensophobic. They got nothing. They got nothing at all. But they're really anti-life. They hate life. How could you like life and want to kill babies in the womb right up to the point of birth? And in some states like California, the consideration of being able to execute children up to 30 days after birth. No, they don't. They want to end America. They want to end life in the process. I guess the more abortions you have, the more future Republicans you could kill, right? I don't know, but it seemed like it would kill Democrats. They just killed Democrats too. How about, the LGBTQ, RSTU, VWXYZ agenda, which they support? Queen says here, quote, "It is antithetical to human flourishing, the whole LGBT agenda, because gay and lesbian couples cannot naturally produce children." Why do they hate children so much that they push an ideology that basically says you cannot naturally prohibit or produce children? They say, well, you know, you've got your reproductive freedoms and your rights, and you can do, you know, in vitro fertilization and so forth like that. Well, come on. Well, that's nonsense. He goes on to say, take the tranny movement. Quote, "The transgender movement is even more pernicious because gender transition puts transgender individuals at a high risk of infertility, and I'm going to add a very high risk of suicide, which the left simply lies about, but it's the trannies who, after they get the sex changes, are committing suicide." He goes on to say, quote, "Democrats don't care. The transgender people are a mess of chemicals, wrong hormones, fake body parts, and they definitely don't care that they're rendering thousands of individuals unable to have children. They don't like life. They don't like more life. Jesus said he came to bring life and to what? Bring it more abundantly. Satan came to say, hey, I want to be king of the world. As the author of, you know, I'm the one who steals, kills, and destroys. I want to be the most high. I like killing people. I like taking as many to hell with me as I can. That's Satan. He's all about death. Jesus was about life. Who's about life? The pro-life people. Who's pro-death? The Democrats love abortion at any stage, love queer sex and sodomy and people who could only ever possibly have children in an unnatural way, not natural childbirth, trannies who have been mutilated to where they can't have children. How about the Democrats' love of an open border? Why are they in love with fentanyl coming across the border willy-nilly and killing 100,000 Americans a year? The Democrats love death. They're the party to steal elections, death, kill the children, and destruction. So that's what it says about Satan, right? He came to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal an election, in this case, kill children, and suppress childbirth in all different sorts of ways of societal destruction, and then simply to destroy the country that's founded upon God's principles. And he's doing one darn good job. Man. But he's going to catch it in the end. Okay, now, next. So we got this Democrat, Benny Thompson, who's proposed the bill to strip Trump of Secret Service protection if he's convicted and sentenced to jail. And it's not written to be against Trump, but Trump's the only person it could possibly be against. This is the Democrats. We gotta think up a new way to rip this guy off, a new way to imprison him, a new way to make sure that he dies if he spends two nights in jail because he doesn't have any Secret Service protection. Go ahead, Democrats, just split the country because there's about 18 states that are going to just give you the finger, Joey Corn Pop, and say we're out of here. We're going to form the real United States of America. So Benny, who's about as smart as that guy Benny on Home Improvement. I love that program with Tim Allen, but Benny the screwball who only cares about fleshly things, namely eating and women. But he just isn't very smart, nor is this guy, like a whole bunch of Democrats. He says, unfortunately, current law does not anticipate how Secret Service protection would impact the felony prison sentence of a protectee, even a former president. Such as a former president, just loosely throws in a reference to Trump. It's regrettable that it has come to this, but this previously unthought of scenario could become a reality. Therefore, it is necessary for us to be prepared and update the law so the American people can be assured that protective status does not translate into special treatment, and that there are those who are sentenced to prison will indeed serve the time required of them. In other words, he's saying, we want to make sure that Trump is exposed to being killed in a jail cell as much as any ordinary prisoner, and maybe especially him. I mean, the number of veiled and increasingly not so veiled threats at the execution of Donald Trump is actually should wake up people. I don't know why it doesn't, that we just may need to say goodbye. We're going to take our marbles and leave. We can't do this. And you get down to these things that are ridiculous, like the Democrats shutting down the Senate trial for Mayorkas. Alejandro Mayorkas. Guilty of treason? I'm going to cover that in a second, because he just may be. But this is incredible that Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, who's the head of the Senate and is supposed to have a trial for Mayorkas because he's been impeached, doesn't hold the trial. As Ted Cruz was saying the other night on TV, the Democrats have thrown away two centuries of precedent by rejecting Mayorkas' articles of impeachment. They just rejected them. They didn't hold a trial. In other words, what, I don't know how to explain this, what Schumer did, what Chuck E. Cheese did, was he took a vote basically to see if they should have a trial. Well, they're obligated by precedent in the Constitution to have a trial. They didn't hold it. He just took a vote whether they should have one. And then a couple of other articles he just threw out without any vote. You see, here's what it would be like. It would be like, Engoron, or taking any one of these left-wing stupid judges that hate Trump. It would be like, okay, so it's the current one of which he's for the hush money trial. It would be like that judge saying, you know what? Before we actually have a trial, now that the jury has been impaneled, let's take a vote, jury. Let's just go back into the jury quarters and take a vote as to whether we need a trial and or simply just go ahead and convict him without the trial. Let's just skip the trial process. Jury, go back in there. And of course, they're all hand-picked left-wing lemmings. Well, hey, probably the same, although I like lemons. Left-wing lemmings, because that's the way that they were selected. I love that Babylon Bee piece where they have a Photoshop thing of the jury that's impaneled, and it says Trump's defense team is having a problem with juror number six, and the Photoshop picture of juror number six is Hillary Clinton with a mustache. Well, this is what this is like. This is like having a vote whether you should have a trial when you're compelled to have a trial. This is how sick and demonic the left is. And then so Mayorkas, who deserves to be impeached at, or was impeached, deserves to be convicted of the impeachment, actually may be possibly to be convicted of treason. Hang with that thought. I didn't realize we were there already. I'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Okay, I apologize. I purposely played the Bobby Fuller 4 and I Fought the Law. My songs, usually I try to connect with the topic that I'm saying. I purposely played it too loud. I apologize if you had to turn it down. I guess I was trying to make a point and I did crank it up. Partly because I really liked the song. I actually bought that. I got that record. I got the 45 of that. That's how old I am. Well, anyway, back to Mayorkas. He got impeached. He should be convicted of impeachment. He should be tried for treason because I think he's maybe guilty of treason. In one sense, definitely guilty of treason, and yet another, which you're going to be surprised at what you hear in a little bit here. But the travesty of this is Mayorkas. I mean, hardly anybody I can think of deserves impeachment more than Mayorkas, with the exception of Joe Biden. He doesn't even have a trial. And Trump, he's guilty as sin for trying to wreck this country. He's admitted it. He wants to let all the illegals in. He loves the destruction of America. And he's in a position to do it, and they won't try the guy who's guilty for attempting to wreck this country patently, and the guy who's innocent, Donald Trump, is put through legal hell. This is how perverted, subverted, inverted our legal system is. Thank you, Department of Injustice. Now, I'm going to read something to you by somebody I really like, Wayne Allen Root. We could be two heads on the same body, almost. I just don't see anything, read anything, hear anything that I disagree with. I don't know that he's got a bigger microphone than I do. I don't know that he hears my program, although I'm on in Las Vegas where he is. I don't think he'd disagree with anything I say. But when I come across an article where somebody says something obviously better than I have or better than I think I could have, it's time to simply quote him. So because this Mayorkas thing is so important and so indicative of the depth of hell to which we have sunk to in this country, and don't miss next week's programs about immigration being judgment on the United States. Don't miss that. On either program, on the the first one's on the Sunday morning with Robin Walter show, airing this same weekend. That's part one. And then part two is next week, where it's covered from a biblical standpoint. Next week, the immigration issue is covered from, on this program, the Robin Walter show, from a dominantly political perspective with some biblical guardrails so that I don't go over the edge. But Wayne's article here entitled "Evil Personified: Alejandro Mayorkas, the Worst Traitor in American History." And I'm just going to read it with my interjections. I'll let you know when I'm no longer quoting, but I'm just shooting my mouth off. All right. He said, here, "I swear we are living in some kind of bizarro Twilight Zone episode or a zombie apocalypse nightmare. Things are that bizarre in America nowadays. 48 hours ago, I was watching a TV show on CBS when a promotion came on my TV screen for the CBS morning show. Host Gayle King, who's Oprah Winfrey's best friend forever, said, "Join us tomorrow for our show dedicated to how to keep your children safe with Department of Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas." End quote. Now, I'm going to insert something here. I just cannot believe CBS, which of course we know stands for Crappy Broadcasting System, NBC, nothing but crap. ABC was the All Barack channel. Well, anyway, I digress. There is, the fact of the matter is, if there's any one person in this country who is doing more to endanger your children, it's Alejandro. Absolutely. What? 100,000 fentanyl deaths? How is that keeping your children safe, Alejandro? How is letting all these people come through that many of them are sexual pervs? We've got child molestation, child rape, and of course, we're not even talking about young women and men that are killed by illegals that he's letting in willy-nilly, 8, 9, 10 million. And CBS, the crappy broadcasting system, has him on there with a show dedicated about how to keep your children safe. Well, they should have said, this is how you keep your children safe, and then do a special on why the Senate should have proceeded with a conviction of impeachment for this guy, and then move on to the treason case. Sheesh. Back to the quote. Back to the article. He said, "Did I really hear that? I reversed my TV to watch it again. Gail King really said that. This 1 30-second promotion proves without any doubt, that leftists and the liberal media are a combination of insane, delusional suicide bombers. They're a danger to us all, a danger to our survival, and a danger to our children's lives. It also proves without a doubt that we are being brainwashed, gaslighted, and defrauded with a level of media propaganda," and we should insert NPR there, "not seen since Nazi Germany's Gestapo, the Soviet Union's KGB, and the East Germany Stasi. Our nation is under foreign invasion by millions of barbarians, including murderers, rapists, terrorists, welfare addicts who will bankrupt our country, illegal alien invaders carrying third world diseases that could kill us, and let's not forget the millions of military-age men from our enemies in China, Hamas, Hezbollah, and MS-13. This is literally an army of millions or more brand new illegal alien criminals that can and will turn America into a Mad Max moment. If A, they get their marching orders from their leaders to destroy America, B, their goal is to create crisis, chaos, anarchy, unrest, rioting, looting, torching, killing, fear, and intimidation before the November election to prevent Donald Trump from taking back the White House. And C, their goal to create chaos, anarchy, unrest, rioting, looting, torching, killing, fear, and intimidation after the election in order to topple the Trump administration. And most likely, number D, all of the above. In the middle of it all sits Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Emphasis mine. In my opinion, Mayorkas is the worst traitor in the history of America. He is evil personified. He is the devil, and he is certainly taking his marching orders from Satan himself. Mayorkas makes Benedict Arnold, who gave the secret location of General George Washington to the British Army and was banned from America for the rest of his life, makes him look like a petty pickpocket. Mayorkas makes Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, who passed secrets about the atomic bomb to the Soviet Union in 1945 and were executed, makes them look like pikers. Because you have to understand, there is only one punishment for a conviction of treason at the federal level, and that's execution by whatever means. I don't know. Would be firing squad? Not sure. Mayorkas is doing more damage to America and America's children than anyone in the history of America. He is not only enabling and empowering the full-scale invasion of America and letting barbarians into our country who will murder and rape your children and infect your children with third world diseases and bring pedophiles and perverts into our country. And the cost of this illegal invasion will force higher taxes that will destroy quality of life for your children. But perhaps worst of all, Mayorkas is allowing all the fentanyl into America that will hook your children on drugs, ruin their lives, and literally kill over 100,000 Americans annually. One of them may well be your child. But wait, it gets worse. We just let in millions of brand new illegals into America because this administration of suicide bombers admits 10 million to have been welcomed in the past 3.5 years. But that number does not include the getaways. That at least doubles the number to maybe 20 million, maybe substantially more. But by Trump swearing in as of January 20th, 2025, who knows how many millions it will be. Think about this. We've added all these millions of new poverty-stricken patients, but no new doctors. This is a bankruptcy and collapse of our healthcare system. Now, I want to insert something here. We talked a couple of weeks ago about how the president of Mexico said that he would not accept any deported people back into Mexico. He's not going to allow Texas to drive Mexicans and other illegals, which includes gazillions of Chinese now and Syrians and you name it from all over the world. He's not going to allow them back into Mexico. And why not? Well, it's because George Soros or somebody like him paid for their one-way ticket from South America and Central America and Central and South Mexico. He's paid for a one-way ticket to the U.S. How do they get their water? How do they get their food? The poor, the tired, those who are making the trip. How do they cover hundreds of miles without somebody paying for their freight? Who is it? Soros? World Economic Forum? Klaus Schwab? Who knows? But it's a one-way ticket. If they come back into Mexico, nobody is paying for jack for those people. That's why Mexico won't take them. It has cost Mexico nothing to ship them to the United States or facilitate the shipment, but it'll cost them everything to have millions dumped back into Mexico. That's why the Mexican president is actually an enemy of the United States of America. Okay, back to the article. So we add millions of new criminals and terrorists. We got no new cops. This will lead to mass chaos, anarchy, and the worst crime wave ever seen in American history, and it's already started. Think what all these millions of illegal alien children added to the public schools will do to retard your children's education and their future earning potential. I have to insert here. We have schools right now where the kids are getting tossed out and are being shipped to what? Long-distance learning, internet learning, virtual learning to make room for illegals in their schools. How about the national debt? I'm back to quoting Wayne. This foreign invasion is costing America $500 billion a year. That's $500 billion. That's what they admit. It's probably much higher. That's trillions added to the national debt in the next decade. Our economy will be overwhelmed. Our country will collapse. And thank you, Mike Johnson, for including in the bill that you pushed through $500 million, $500 million for helping receive illegals into this country. I can't digress on him. Mayorkas is the point man for the intentional destruction of America. I'm back to quoting here. He has done more damage to our country and our children than anyone in history. He's more deadly to America than all the Islamic terrorists in the world combined. And yet, the crappy broadcasting system, sometimes known as CBS Morning Show, portrays him as a hero. Those are their words. Who can show us how to keep our children safe. Goodness sakes. Mayorkas will make Epstein look like a legitimate candidate to run the church nursery for children. Jeez. And the U.S. Senate voted for the first time in history to kill an impeachment trial before it even started. This is a definition of gaslighting and propaganda. This man is the enemy of every single American. He is the enemy of your children. He is evil personified. He is the devil incarnate. He is the appointee hand-selected by Barack Hussein Obama, who gave his orders to Joey, brain-dead skunk in the middle of the road, I'm your left-wing puppet, corn pop, Biden. But until then, I missed a sentence. Root says, I know where he belongs. He belongs burning in hell. But until then, how about we elect Trump on November 5th and then immediately indict Mayorkas for treason? And after conviction, sentence him to life in prison, breaking rocks at Guantanamo. And then America will be great again and your children will be safe again. God bless America. End of story. Now, I have to offer a correction here. I agree with him all the time. Yes, I think he could be convicted, maybe convicted of treason. Maybe. But if he's convicted, he doesn't break rocks at Guantanamo. He's executed. Firing squad. And this is where it gets really interesting. I mean, even more interesting than Wayne's article. I don't know that he would have looked up treason under the federal statutes, but lawyer that I am, I'm looking at the federal level, Article 3, Section 3 of the United States Constitution, defines treason at the federal level as levying war against the United States, which I think you could make a case for. There's not a particularly defined enemy that he's aiding and abetting like Benedict Arnold for the British. But he's aiding and abetting every country that wants to destroy the United States. I don't think it has to be a single country. It also talks about, only in levying war against the United States or in adhering to their enemies, in other words, supporting the enemies of the country, of the United States, this is where I think he could be nailed for treason, giving them aid and comfort. Would that not be funding the freight train north from South America, Central America, all over Mexico? Funding that in one way, shape, or form, and making sure, thank you, Mike Johnson, that we have $500 million set aside for tchotchkes and other little things when they cross the border. The question is, how many people might be guilty of treason? But this is at Mayorkas' hands. Now, it is possible that he could be tried for treason. And the penalty is death. It isn't breaking rocks. It's firing squad or what have you. But this is what a lot of people don't know. Most states have a constitutional criminality definition of treason of their own. Treason against that particular state's sanctity. Somebody trying to destroy that state could be convicted of treason at a state level. And it says there, specifically limiting to levying war against that state. So war against the country, I think you could make out a case for it. I think you could make out a case for levying war against a state. How about Texas? War against Texas. That's where they're being brought in. That's where one of the states, California is stuck on stupid. They will never do this. And I don't even know if it's in their constitution. Arizona's got a screwball Democrat governor who we hope to be out. New Mexico is also stuck on stupid. So I think it's down to Texas, maybe in the future Arizona, but forget New Mexico and California. at the state level, is it levying war against that state? I think you could make out a case against Mayorkas at the state level for levying war against the state, which also includes adhering to the enemies and this one, or aiding the enemies of the state. Aiding enemies of the state. I think there's a case. Screw the U.S. Senate. They won't have a trial. Take the trial to Texas and have them try this supreme treasonous person for what he's guilty of. If you can't get him for the intentional destruction and aiding the enemies, the multiple enemies of the United States, maybe you could get him in Texas. Now, Texas and the other states don't get to kill him, but they do have a penalty that could be tie him up for some time. I have to make a correction. There is a possibility that a federal treason connection. I misspoke. A federal treason connection could be prison. Wayne Allen Root was actually right. But there's a lot of price to pay if they're not sentenced to death. I actually got confused in my notes here. Gee, first time that's ever happened. The point being is, and this is where I got sideways, the only ones convicted of treason have been Benedict Arnold, who got banned from the country, and then the ones that sold, the Eisenbergs, sold the nuclear atomic secrets to Russia. They were executed. And that's serious, and this is serious enough that the penalty, if convicted for treason at the federal level, should be execution, because it's of the same magnitude of evil as it is giving the atomic bomb secret to our sworn enemies. Because letting in all the people in the United States into the, from these countries, which are sworn enemies of this country, here's just letting them in. But my point here is that we don't have to wait, because we can't. Chuck E. Cheese just dumped it, violated the protocol and the custom, the laws to bring a trial, didn't even have it. Doesn't have to wait for that. Try Mayorkas for treason under Texas law. Bring justice to Texas. Why not? It isn't justice anywhere else. Texas, do what you need to do. You don't have to bring the justice isn't Texas. I misspoke again. Bring the person who should be brought to justice to Texas. I don't care. Go to D.C., arrest the guy, take him down there, and they want to try to extradite him. File the charges against him and then seek his extradition. It will be refused. But then Texas needs to go get Mayorkas, take him to Texas and try him. Or any one of the other states that have state constitutional legislation allowing for the prosecution of treason against individuals who are harming their states, that have effectively levied war against them in a manner that is actually more realistic than Donald Trump trying to destroy democracy, which of course is a case of projection by the left-wingers. This is a case where it is far, far closer to the truth that Mayorkas has aided and abetted the enemies of the United States in our destruction. Far, far closer than anything anybody could ever make out about Donald Trump supposedly wanting to destroy democracy. But that's the left. The left calling evil good and good evil. It's the left calling darkness light and light darkness. The ones who have perverted and subverted and inverted the law of the United States. That's why I played that song. You know, I fought the law and the law won. It doesn't say in that song in the Bobby Fuller 4 that he ever did anything wrong. It's just that he lost his case to the law. Maybe misapplied. At least that's what I'm going to believe in the song to give it some application. So I just encourage people, you know what I really want to do here? If you're getting, however you're getting this program off from the website, whether you're on our email blast list, whether you're getting this on a podcast, whether you're hearing it in California or Nevada or Philadelphia or New Jersey or Delaware where it's on now, get this program out to other people. Please, the time is short. The time is critical that people get informed. Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This is knowledge today. And I have to tell you, I only learned it earlier this week, that the states have laws to try people for treason against that state. Wow. Who'd have thunk it? Hey, God bless you. Remember, sit tall in the saddle, America. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ, and we'll talk to you next week.